And I think that the mergers and acquisitions that you're going to see for at least the next 2 years are going to be ones that benefit, of course, the sellers, because they're going to get a premium, but they're going to benefit the buyers too. You're going to get the double bump. Now, I'm sure ultimately, when mining returns to favor, that stupidity will return to mergers and acquisitions. But I think we're going to get a wonderful holiday for 2 years, and I think it's going to be really profitable for people who know how to play the game.
The Resource Insider Investment Service provides independent research and access to exclusive investment opportunities in the mining and metal space. See the link in the show notes below to learn more and use discount code MSE when you sign up for a 15% discount. And make sure you also download the free Resource Insider ebook by clicking on the link in the show notes below. You're listening to Mining Stock Education. I'm Bill Powers, reporting from the beautiful city of Vancouver. I'm at the Sprott Natural Resource Symposium, and I have the opportunity to speak with its president, Rick Rule. Rick, thanks for joining me today.
Pleasure, Bill. Thank you.
This is a very intimate conference. The last conference I met you at was PDAC, and this is much more intimate than that massive conference.
I like them both for their own purposes. The PDAC is, of course, the biggest technical conference of the year. This is different. This is the old Sprott constituency for... You know, this is the 19th year this conference has gone on, so a very different circumstance.
As you're interacting with speakers and investors, what are you picking up on in terms of sentiment in the sector right now?
That's an unfair question in the sense that the exhibitors here are much higher quality than at a normal conference. The consequence of that is that these exhibitors have already been successful, and the pain that most of the industry is feeling, they aren't feeling. Similarly, with regards to the attendees here, unlike many conferences, these people are paid attendees, and many of them have been through many cycles. So while the mood of the industry as a whole is pretty somber, the mood here is pretty upbeat. The issuers are mostly cashed up. They've been successful in the past. The attendees have been through prior cycles and understand that what other people think are bear markers are actually sales.
That's right, and I can tell you that my firsthand experience that most of the geologists and CEOs that I've talked to as I've gone from booth to booth, they're very optimistic, as you say. Is there anything that we can learn from what's going on in the micro of this conference that could apply to the macro of the resource sector right now?
Well, I think there is. I study the work of a social scientist, I think his name was Alfredo Pareto, the author of the sort of 80-20 principle. And what you learn if you learn about performance dispersal curves among people is that a very small number of people are responsible for most of the value creation in the world. And the first rule, I think, in exploration or any other knowledge business is that success is aggregated by a very small population, the total players. As an investor, what I think you try to do is identify what you laughingly call the A team and stick with them. It's tempting in a bull market to go to a B team or a C team, but it usually has a very unpleasant outcome. What you see going from booth to booth here are people that have stood the test of time, and many of them have been successful in the past. And I think that's the first key to success, irrespective of markets.
You're one of the few people that I've heard teach and give investors a paradigm for how to prepare for a conference, how to engage management, give questions to management. With that in mind, you're the lead learner. What have you learned so far? And now we're at the second day of this conference.
This conference, to be honest with you, I'm going to have to learn some of in retrospect. One of the things I do is eat my own cooking. And the MP3s, that is the conference recording, gives me the ability 15 days after the conference to sit down in the light of day and refresh my memory with regards to the speeches that I have heard. Certainly, I am struck by the delta between the doom and gloom that affects the industry in general, and then the attitudes that were expressed as an example in the last panel, the Living Legends panel, Sean Rosen, Randy Smallwood, Ross Beatty, Robert Friedland, people who have been through various cycles who understand that cycles are a tool, not a risk. Just refreshing myself in the sense that the things that have succeeded in this business have always been the same. So I think the lesson that I come away with is one that I already knew. What worked in the past will work now. I think one piece of advice that was useful that I just heard that I'd love to refresh your readers with was Robert Friedland saying in the last panel that prices are ephemeral. Price information, the share price, is easy information to get. And it's a number that makes you feel good or feel bad. But if you don't have an opinion as to the value of a stock, the price information is useless. Money is made on the delta between price and value. And focusing slavishly on the share price to the exclusion of working to ascertain how that price reflects value is at best, a waste of time.
Something you said in the last general session that I'd like for you to share with listeners is the time expectation of return that often mining investors have, and how that can really cloud one's vision and cause one to make bad investing mistakes.
My experience has been, my reputation, first of all, was built on the more speculative end of the market. That isn't to suggest that I'm not an investor too, but I'm known as a speculator. In fact, all the money that I now invest, I made speculating. And in speculation, that is the search for 10 baggers or 20 baggers, what I've learned since 1998, which is when I started really keeping track of my performance, was that the average length of time for a 10 bagger was almost 5 years. It was 50 months. Most investors' time frames are 2 weeks or 3 weeks or a quarter or something like that. You make money in exploration by answering unanswered questions. And to make a lot of money, you have to answer a series of unanswered questions. If you assume, as I do, that each individual unanswered question takes between 12 and 18 months, if you buy an exploration stock without the expectation of holding it for 18 months, you're lying to yourself. You're setting yourself up to fail. The other part of that that's important is remembering that prices are ephemeral. I was talking to Ross Beaty on the last panel, and I've participated in all of Ross Beaty's successes, and I can tell you that I have never been involved in a Ross Beaty 10-bagger where the price of the stock didn't fall 50% twice during the time that I owned the stock. So the first lesson is that investors' time expectations are wrong. They're way, 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 way too short. And the second thing is that investors in the context of time waste way too much time with the share price.
Robert Friedland said in the last session that he expects a lot of M&A activity in the next 18 months. We've seen some M&A activity in the last 4 to 6 weeks. What are your thoughts about what's occurring and its significance?
Robert is exactly right, first of all. And so far, the M&A that we're seeing has been fairly rational, fairly logical, and fairly strategic, unlike last decade, where a lot of the M&A was idiotic, just for size. The truth is that right now, the mining industry as a whole is behaving rationally. For too long in the past, investors looked at mining company shares as leveraged options on commodity prices. Now, oddly, of course, the most inefficient companies are the most leveraged to commodity prices. So for 40 years, we asked mining companies to be marginal, and they complied. The upshot of that was, of course, the idiotic mergers that we saw in the last decade. A lot of those managers were thanked and excused, allowed to pursue other employment opportunities. And the management teams that have reflected them so far have been very sober. Mining businesses are starting to emphasize return on capital employed, efficient allocation of capital, all the things that you're supposed to do in a business. And I think that the mergers and acquisitions that you're going to see for at least the next 2 years are going to be ones that benefit, of course, the sellers, because they're going to get a premium, but they're going to benefit the buyers too. You're going to get the double bump. Now, I'm sure ultimately, when mining returns to favor, that stupidity will return to mergers and acquisitions. But I think we're going to get a wonderful holiday for 2 years, and I think it's going to be really profitable for people who know how to play the game.
There was recently Anaconda Mining's attempted hostile takeover of Maritime Resources, which I found actually quite entertaining. Do you have any thoughts on that?
I think more amalgamations need to take place in the junior space. And I think the discussion that you're talking about is educational in many senses. Oftentimes, mergers fail simply because the team that has the potential to be acquired understands that their salaries go to salary heaven. And many times, and I'm not suggesting that this is the case in this circumstance, I'm also not suggesting that it isn't. Many times, what you see that prevents amalgamation is a management team that cares far more about their salary and emolument than they do about the shareholders' well-being. We need many, many, many more juniors to amalgamate. What we need more than anything else in the space is less general and administrative expense, relative to field expenditures and relative to capital employed. So we need a whole bunch of mergers, which sadly we're unlikely to see.
Rick, a proverb I consider a long-learned truth that's conveyed concisely, and you are the king, in my opinion, of resource investor proverbs, also known as Rick Ruleisms. For the second half of 2018, what would be the last and most significant Rick Ruleism you'd like to leave with my listeners?
Well, I think one that I've used many times. In this business, if you aren't a contrarian, you're going to be a victim. This business is extraordinarily cyclical. We learned, as an example, in 2015, when everybody was in despair, that the cure for low prices was truly low prices. And we had a spectacular run in 2016, out of the ashes. Nobody saw it coming, myself included. In 2016, when it got good, it became very good. And people, of course, carried their enthusiasm to an illogical conclusion. And the consequence of that is, of course, 2017 was bad. What's the lesson? Low prices are the cure for low prices. High prices are the cure for high prices. And if you're not a contrarian, you're going to be a victim.
Those are two Rick Ruleisms, but I'll let you get away with it. You mentioned the MP3s of the sessions and the lectures. How can listeners get a hold of those?
We will provide a link, a computer link, for your listeners to get the MP3s at the special conference price.
Okay, so listeners, look to that. Go to miningstockeducation.com with this interview and the transcript that I'm doing with Rick. In that, click on that link and you'll find the link to order the MP3s at the special conference pricing. Rick, it's a long day for you. It's the end of the day. I appreciate you sitting down with me and sharing with my listeners.
I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to this Mining Stock Education podcast. Please subscribe and share with like-minded investors. Visit us on the web at miningstockeducation.com for more resources on precious metals and natural resource investing. At our website, you can also sign up for our free newsletter for interview transcripts, stock picks, and more. This podcast is for informational purposes only and is not to be considered personal legal or investment advice or a recommendation to buy or sell securities or any other product. We make every effort to be accurate, but the information presented is not to be considered infallible. It may contain errors, and we offer no inferred or explicit warranty. If personal advice is needed, consult a qualified legal, tax, or investment professional. Do not base any investment decision on the information contained on miningstockeducation.com, our podcasts, or videos. Make sure you always conduct your own thorough due diligence before investing. Realize that we may hold equity positions in or be compensated by some of the companies we feature and therefore are biased and hold an obvious conflict of interest. For our full disclaimer, please visit our website.